Good evening, isn't it? Well, thankful for being here, and blessed that the pastor had called and had me be here. And it's been a few months, hasn't it? Well, I missed you. I know you missed me too, and I'm humbled about that. You know, I want to. That's not a humble brag. I'm not trying to say, you know, I'm better than any other evangelist that you have here, and that you don't love me as much and whatnot. But we all know the truth, amen. So no, that's not right. I am blessed to be here, and I love when the pastor calls. Actually, it was funny, the day that he had asked me to come, I looked, and it was like maybe 5 seconds after he said, "Can you come and fill in Wednesday?" And I said, "Yes, of course." He texted me back and said, "Wow, that was fast." And I told him I was on my phone, and I didn't want to tell him that I was watching TV on my phone. But you know, I'm 32 years old. You know, I'm on my phone. Come on. But I was like, "Well, oh yeah, brother. I'm excited to answer you back and whatnot." And I was excited to answer him back, but that's not the reason why I was on my phone. So anyway, but we're blessed to be here, and I'm always thankful. And I'll tell you, let me catch you up on a few things. The kids are great. Nora is still perfect. She has a ruptured eardrum, so pray for her. She had, maybe an ear infection and some buildup. But, you know, I'll tell you, the Lord is just taking care of her. And in 3 days, it's already looks perfect. It's amazing how those babies are so resilient. And I get a paper cut, and I just start crying. Come on, man, you know what I'm talking about. Man asked one time, he said, "What's stronger, a man or a woman?" I said, I don't want to tell you because she might hit me. So, but anyway, all those who would, please turn with me to Matthew chapter number 27. Matthew chapter number 27, we've been praying on this scripture probably for a few years now, to be honest with you. And God has finally given the ability to preach it. And I've given a brief sermon when I first started preaching on this, but I love the fact that God has allowed me just to study more into it. Matthew chapter number 27, verses 15. I'll start. Once you find your spot, once you refresh yourselves and stand with us. And I always say I'll try not to take up much time, but this is Victory Independent Baptist Church, and I love to preach here. Amen. Everybody's like, "Yeah, you do." So anyway, here we go. "Now at the feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, 'Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ?'" If I would ask you right now, who would you pick? I believe everybody here would say Jesus, right? He's our number one. Everybody here would say Jesus. But he said, "For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, 'Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him.' But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, 'Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you?' They said, 'Barabbas.' Pilate saith unto them, 'What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?' They all say unto him, 'Let him be crucified.'" Father, we thank you for the day that you've given us, and Lord, as though we can enjoy the fellowship and we can receive joy from your word, Lord, I pray that this message would just help each and every one of your children that are here. And that, God, it would prick the hearts of the lost, Lord God, that there would be conviction and realization, Father, Lord, through your message. Lord, I thank you for the understanding, Lord God, that without your Son, I could not be saved. I'm thankful to say that I chose Jesus because he first chose me. Lord God, I love you and I thank you for what you have done for us and what you've done for this church and what you've done for my family. God, I pray that I will do you honor, Lord God. Now I'm asking to be removed of self. Clean me up, Lord God, and use me. Use this vessel to deliver your word and that of your Son's sweet and heavenly name. And amen. Now, you may be seated. I'm going to focus real quick on Matthew chapter number 27 and verse 22. Matthew 27 and verse 22. Pilate saith to them, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" That's a very good question. That was probably the most deep and honest question that that man has ever asked anyone. Probably the most important question that Pilate himself had ever asked. What shall I do then with Christ? I want to preach on this thought this evening. What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? Now we understand what these people of Jerusalem had done with Jesus. I mean, they went from chapter 21 shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna," as he rode in on that colt and laying palms at his feet and praising him for making his entrance, just to, about six chapters later saying, "Crucify him. Crucify him. Give us Barabbas." I mean, they didn't even think about it. Look at this in this 22nd verse real quick. It says, "Pilate saith to them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And almost immediately they all say unto him, Let him be crucified." Brother, there wasn't even a question. There wasn't even a pause. There wasn't even a think about it. Or maybe I should go home and consider my options. No, immediately they said, "Crucify him." And then it goes on to say this, "And the governor said, Why, what evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude." By the way, they weren't clean. They weren't clean. And he said this, "I am innocent." No, he wasn't. "Of the blood of this just person, see ye to it." Then answered all the people and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." On our children. So again, I'll restate my question. This simple, perhaps few minute message, what will you do with Jesus? We can go throughout the scriptures and we can find men and women who made a decision to whether serve Jesus or to not serve Jesus. I mean, here is a few examples right here. It says in Matthew 19, 16 through 24. And I won't go ahead and I won't read the full verse, but we understand this young rich ruler. We know who he is. And he asked a question, "Good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Now you'll notice the question, "What must I do?" Him thinking he had anything to do with it. Now he began to read the first five, I believe, of the Ten Commandments, which happens to do with honoring thy mother and father, serving God, having no graven image, and having no gods before the Lord. And he said, "I've kept all this from my youth up." And he said, "Go and sell everything you own, give it to the poor, and follow me." Now the Bible says that he had great possessions, and he went away heavy heart. He went away sorrowful. He made his choice. He made his choice. He told you exactly what he was going to do with Jesus. This young rich ruler denied eternal reward for empty riches. Eternal reward for empty riches. In Mark 5, 25 through 34, we understand a woman with the issue of blood who, for how many years? 12 years, sought the advice, the counsel, the healing of these many doctors, and she could find no relief, and she spent all that she could own, all that she had, everything that was given to her, everything that she worked for. She gave it all just so that she could feel better and be relieved of this bloody flux. Then she heard about a man I love that, don't you? Come see a man, you're the woman of the well. You know what I'm talking about. Come see a man who told me all things whatsoever I'd done. But that's not what was going on here. What was going on was Jesus was going with Jairus to go and heal his daughter who was 12 years old. So these two women had something in common. But what had happened was simply grabbing the hem of his garment. And he said, I've felt virtue leave off of me. Who touched me? The people had thronged him and pushed him. And truthfully, this woman was, in the law of the Jews, she was unclean. But knowing that she couldn't hide, she came before him and said, I touched you. I did it. Thy faith had made thee whole. And she was healed. She told the world what she was going to do with Jesus. Listen to this, and I wrote this down. She embraced the great physician instead of the general practitioners. And I believe in that great physician, don't you? I believe in healing. I believe that he can heal. A lot of people, if you start talking about healing, they want to step back from you. But hey, here's the thing. He healed me of my sin problem. And then finally, we are reminded of this one. Luke 23:39-43. And just write these down, but we remember and we hear about this thief that was on the cross. We know him as the thief on the right. And I don't know if I've ever preached the message here, but I have always likened the three crosses, the one on the left of being the cross of rebellion. That one who said, if thou be the Christ, get thyself down. No, don't forget about me. And then you got that one on the right, on that cross of repentance. Said, Master, remembers me when thou enter into thy kingdom. Because he was looking at that cross of righteousness. He hung on the cross of repentance and looked to the cross of righteousness. So we understand here, and I'm getting ready to get into the message, that many have made their choice. Now, this isn't just about salvation. Okay, here's what I'm getting at. Christian, this is also to you. What will you do with Jesus? Will you understand that there's so much more than just filling a pew? There's so much more than just putting a little money in the offering plate. I want us to understand that there is so much at stake in the realization and in the understanding of what we do in our lives with Jesus Christ. First of all, let us look at this. What is at stake? Acceptance or rejection? Think about it. Matthew 10:33 says, but whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. See, I don't want to hear that. I love that, well done, thy good and faithful servant. I just want to hear, welcome home. Like I said before, I know that there's going to be some tears shed at that judgment seat of Christ. But thank God I'll never have to look at that great white throne of judgment. But not only do we see acceptance or rejection, but here's what else is at stake, receiving peace. It's amazing at how many people don't realize that even here we receive peace. A lot of lost people say, well, God gives me peace. I have come to the realization of this, that a lost person thinks that because they have got so accustomed to just the hardships of their life that they don't realize that if they're going through something terrible until it gets even worse. They get comfortable. Does that make sense? They get complacent. For just a brief space of time, it settles out. It doesn't get better. It just settles out. You may say, well, money shows up. That's not what I'm talking about. There's been many a rich man who has lost his life, who has taken his life because he was just sad, because he was lonely, brokenhearted, empty, completely poor. But listen to this real quick. Romans 5, 1 through 2 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, but whom we have also access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. If that's not peace, then I don't know what is. It's unfortunate. In this day and age, how many Christians are looking for peace? It's unfortunate in today's society and how many men and women are going and they're trying to find peace. When the Lord said, come unto me and I will give you rest. I mean, is he not the Prince of Peace? He is, isn't he? We know him as the King of Kings. We know him as the Lord of Lords. But it's unfortunate how many people, how many Christians forget that he's the Prince of Peace. But I also want us to look at this. We have joy. What else is at stake is joy. And I'm not talking about fun. I remember being younger. And I don't know why this is just coming to mind, but I remember being younger and somebody saying, you should come to church, it's fun. And it was a youth group, and don't get me wrong, there was some fun. I mean, we enjoyed ourselves. But I didn't know what real joy was until I got saved. It's amazing at how you start to notice difference in fun and joy. Because here's the thing. We live in a day and age where we are the most hated people on earth. You're Christians. The world hates us. There's no fun in that. But I can find joy in that. I can find joy in knowing that, hey, we're still here being able to be a light to that world that hates us. We can still pray for our enemies. Amen. We can still love our enemies. We still have the opportunity to gather together. I find joy in that. I find joy in knowing that even in the deepest, darkest valley, there's still a rose. Amen? And I believe that rose is Jesus. That's probably one of the simplest things I'll ever say, but it's probably one of the most meaningful just because the name of Jesus is in it. And that's the greatest joy of my life. It's not the kids at home. It's not just the wife at home. It's not the job. It's not the house. It's Jesus. That's the greatest joy in my life. I could rejoice in knowing that my family could be on their way home tonight from church, and I'd never speak to them again, but I know where they'd be. I know where they're headed. A lot of people would say that's crazy. But not only do we see that, but listen to this. We can pray with joy. We get joy from blessings. We find strength in joy. Now, I want you to write these verses down. Go home and read these, okay? Because I'm not gonna try to take up much time and read these. But I began to think if I give you these verses, perhaps you'll go home and receive a blessing. But you can pray with joy. We find this in Philippians 1, 3, and 4. You get a joy from blessings in Acts 8 and 8. And you can find strength and joy in Colossians 1, 11. But I want us to look at something real quick before I move on to my next point at what's at stake. Eternal life. Now, either way, eternity is set for you. It's an eternal home in heaven, or it's eternal torment in hell. But we see here in John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. It's amazing at how you would say that simple this is, simple these words that I'm saying are, but how much meaning and how much depth there is. The world has made this blessed book to be in, they say it contradicts itself. They say that this King James Bible is outdated. That you got to keep revising, you got to keep getting the different versions, you got to keep changing it up because, hey, times are changing. But my Lord said, I am the Lord, and I changeth what? Not. He's the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. He doesn't change. He doesn't have new thoughts. You can't inspire him. Can't surprise God. But the thing is what we can do is we can remember what he has given us. He's given us joy. He's given us peace. Hey, I'm saved. I have everlasting life. But next, I want us to think, and this is more of a remembrance, I guess you would say, message where we must, it's easy to get complacent. I think that's the simplest way to say this. It's easy to get complacent. It's easy to get set in your ways. Me and the brother were talking about his new house. And he was talking about how he's getting things sorted out and he's getting new this and new that. And I was excited for him and I said, well, wait till you get married and she moves in. Look, it may be your stuff now. Amen. No, she's got the ring, buddy. It ain't yours. What's hers is yours and what's hers is hers. Amen. But it's all new. And that's changing, isn't it? But the one thing that's not changing in their lives is God. And that's the greatest foundation, right? That's the foundation of marriage. That's the foundation of family. That's the foundation of finances. That's the foundation. That's the greatest foundation is God. It's a solid foundation. And we need to remember this is that when and what we are doing is we are choosing. We are making a choice in what we are doing with Jesus. Or what we will do with Jesus, as I would say this. We're choosing. Either way, you are going to make a choice. I heard one man say, well, I'm just not going to choose. You made your choice. If he's not your number one. I heard a song this Sunday. I think it was, it may have been titled, Just One More Day. Man sang it at church, and it was a wonderful, wonderful song, Just One More Day. And got up to the end where, or I have plenty of time, or I can't remember. You know what song? I have plenty of time. And it hit me so hard because that could have been me. I have plenty of time. And really, we don't. We don't have plenty of time. So many things have already happened from January 1st to April 21st in my life, in your life. In your life, there's so many wonderful things that are happening, so many sad things that are happening, and it just keeps going, doesn't it? So I look at this first of all. Either way, we're going to make a choice, and by not making a choice, you've made your choice. I'll say this again. Accept him or reject him. That's what they did. What wouldst thou have me do with Christ? crucify him. They rejected him. They rejected him. They turned him away. They said, hey, they finished even in this. It confirms the parable of Luke 19 and 14. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man. We will not have this man to reign over us. We sing that song, where could I go but to the Lord? And I'm thankful to know that I didn't have to be back then. Because who knows what I would have done? I ask the question right now, at this very point in time, who would you have chose? Would you have chose Jesus or Barabbas? Let's go back 2,000 years ago. Now don't analyze this. Don't get yourself down. Because we're here right now. And those of us who are saved, we've made our choice. And it's the greatest choice you've ever made. Please don't get me wrong. Don't get it twisted. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. Praise God for those of us here who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Because that's the greatest choice you've ever made. And you made that choice. No one forced you to make that choice. No one tied you down and said, you have to choose. You made it freely. But we see here, do we let him in or do we leave him out? Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will, what? I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Will you confess him? Or deny him. Whosoever there shall confess before me him, will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. I began to write these down. I was going one after another. Will you stand with him or against him? Now, if God be for us, we know this, who can stand against us? That's a very, very common, please forgive me when I say this, I don't mean common as in every day, but we know that passage of Scripture. If God be for us, I believe it's Romans 12, if God be for us, then who can stand against us? It's either 2 or 12. I think it's 12, but my thought with that is we all know that. But look here in Matthew 12:30. He that is not with me is against me. That's a scary thought. Now, not to most people anymore. Not, most people are like, well, that doesn't matter to me. That doesn't strike a chord with me. Nothing scares me. I was talking to someone recently, and they asked me, they said, are you afraid to die? I said, no, I said, I just don't want to. I mean, it makes sense, doesn't it? I don't want to die. I jokingly said this, I said, I feel like I'd be doing the world a great disservice if I died. And then they laughed about it, and you know, Christy looked at me and said, I'm so glad you're humble about who you are. And it was just, it was a joke in itself, And then I got serious and I said, no, I'm not afraid to die because I know where I'm going. I said, but I want to live to be able to tell someone, just one more person about Jesus. We've been going out and we've been passing out gospel tracts. And we made it through Muncie and it was still cold. It wasn't, you know, November, December, January, February, and March like it was today. But it was still a little chilly just this past Saturday. And we're walking all over the place, and it was nice. And I was having a wonderful time with my brethren. And I began to walk up to this. The first gentleman I walked up to, I handed him a gospel tract, and he said, God bless you. And I got so excited. I walked up to him and I handed him this and I said, sir, I said, I want to invite you to Liberty Baptist Church. And I said, would you care to accept this? Could I give this to you? I wasn't going to throw it at him or force it at him. I just I mean, a stranger walks up to you in the middle of a pandemic and hands you something. It's, you know, it's kind of off. And he said, he took it and said, God bless you. I was with two other people, and one of our deacons, he ran up the hill while a guy was running and stopped him mid-stride and said, hey, I'm sorry, I need to give you this. And he took it, and he took out his earbuds, and he just looked at it and put it in his pocket, and he said, thanks, and he went on about his day. And the third man, who he had arrived a little late, and I say that because I joked with him. I said, since you were late, this person's going to tell you no, and they did. He said, I'm sorry. Would you like to come to Liberty Baptist Church here at the track? And she just laughed in his face. And he kind of got down about it, and he saw a person next to him, and he said, would you like this? And the man looked at it, and he began to read it. What if he would have stopped? What if after somebody said no, what if he would have just stopped? Went home, spent time with his wife and children. That man wouldn't have received that tract and wouldn't have read it. Who knows what has happened now? That seed's been planted, hasn't it? But we see this. Mark 9:40, for he that is not against us is on our part. You're either with him or you're against him. Before I start in this last point, here's a question. If you're truly saved, and I pray that you are, how much have you applied your life to him? Because I can tell you this right now, he's applied it all to you. He has applied it all to you. He did apply it all to you. He didn't just give a little bit. He gave it all. I sometimes even think to myself, how much am I giving? And when I think about that, I say to myself, I shouldn't even be thinking about how much. Maybe I should say, is there any left? Is there any left to give to him? Because even in marriage, he's number one. In a family, he's number one. In your Bible study, he's number one. When you're singing hymns, he's number one. When you're driving to church, he's number one. When you're going to work, he's number one. When you're sitting at home with your feet propped up and just taking a relaxing moment, he's still number one. You say, well, sometimes I just want some time to myself. If you truly love him, no, you don't. Because it should always be about him. It should always be about him. Because in him you find comfort. In him you find rest. But I began to look, and this is my final point. I asked these questions. What will you do with Jesus? And I asked this. What is at stake? When choosing Jesus, when making him your number one, when picking him over Barabbas, we must first look at what's at stake. You know what's at stake? I went through it. Well, let's make this so simple. Here's what's at stake. Heaven or hell? I'm already saved. Your children, heaven or hell? Your friends, heaven or hell? That new neighbor, the new person who just started at work, the lady behind the grocery counter, heaven or hell? I ask this. I ask this. What we will be choosing. What we will be choosing. Are we choosing heaven or hell? Are we choosing to accept him or reject him? Are we going to let him in? And can I say this? Are you going to let him completely in? Your body is a temple, right? You should treat it as the temple of the Lord. It should be respected. Should be when you invite him in, it should be cleaned out. And he should have full reign over it. There shouldn't be a little closet in the back of it that's locked and saying, "Lord, this is your house. I'm all yours except for that. Lord, don't go in there. That's mine still." That's not how it works. Will you let him in or leave him out? Will you confess him, deny him, stand with him or against him? Now, here's the final point. What will you choose? No, hold on. And I marked that out. Who we must choose. You see, there's no question to it. This whole time, I believe that this has led up to this. Who are you choosing? Are we choosing Jesus just on Sundays and Wednesdays, or are we choosing him on Monday and Tuesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday, along with Wednesday and Sunday? Is it ultimately serious? Is it completely real? Is it 100%? Do you know that this is not just some game? Because it's unfortunate in this day and age at how many people think that this is just some game. How we are just some fanatic cult spending time talking about someone who may or may not have raised from the dead, who may or may not have been born of a virgin, who may or may not be the son of a may or maybe not God. Who we must choose. And in this, when we choose Jesus, we choose to follow Jesus. And why we follow Jesus, I've already said, "And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." When we choose Jesus, we can reach our lost. When we choose Jesus, we tell him we want him to guide our footsteps. Why? I'm getting ready to be done. First of all, he is the appointed and anointed king. Over here in Acts chapter number 2, verse 36. "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom you've crucified both Lord and Christ." Finally, this. He's the Savior. Not only is he the Savior, he's the Son of God. And only the Son of God can be the Savior. Talking about the begotten Son of God. The one who was sent by him. Isaiah chapter 53, 5 and 6. "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Do you want to know why we must choose him? Why it must be Jesus? Why it must be this man to reign over us? Why we must stand with him? Because it's all about him anyway. I have resolved in myself to tell you this. It's all about him anyway. It's not about me. It's not about you. We're in a day where it's all about self. And the worst thing, as me being a young man, the worst thing I do is I get in my way a lot. I get in my way so much, it's not even funny. You hear this oftentimes, "I am my own worst enemy." Hey, the flesh and the spirit are in constant battle with one another, and that's exactly right. And we must crucify this flesh. We must put it under subjection daily. Because this flesh is not going to be with Jesus. but it's that inward man. It's that indwelling spirit. It's that perfect one. Why must we choose Jesus? What will we do with Jesus? The question is what would he do with us? What would he do with us? I'll leave you with this thought. A man got the urge to become a missionary. It wasn't anything laid on him by the Lord. He just said, I would like to be a missionary. After missions conference, he walked up to his pastor. Now, the unfortunate thing about this man, the pastor knew him very well. He was that one that would show up every so often. He was that man who may have put a little bit of money in the plate every so often. He's that one who would probably stand up and sing a hymn every so often. And he looked at the pastor and said, Pastor, I believe that the Lord is telling me to go and be a missionary. The pastor looked at him and said, what would you do out on the mission field? And he said, well, probably exactly what I'm doing now. The pastor looked at him and said, then you're going to fail. What can the Lord do with you? You see, we have to be willing and receptive and submissive. You see, they decided that they would not have this man to reign over them. And they chose Barabbas. They chose the world. They chose a notable prisoner. They knew who he was and they knew what he did. But they didn't want to have this one who was meek and lowly, full of love, perfect, fulfilled the law. They were stuck in their ways. That's the worst thing we can do, is be just stuck in our ways. I want to be stuck in his way. And it's unchanging. So I'll ask this evening, sister, if you'd get a song, and just a verse, for all those who would stand. Would you be a vessel that the Lord could use? Would you be willing, submissive? I know we have our missions conference coming up. Was your missions conference, it was a couple weeks ago, and you made a promise. You made a promise to support those missionaries. You made a promise to give and to support them, to further spread the gospel. But the last time I checked, there has been a lot of cars drive by who have not stopped at this parking lot. When was the last time you passed out a gospel tract? When was the last time you told someone about Jesus? When was the last time you just said, self, get out of the way? All those who would like to come and pray. I know it's prayer meeting, but the wonderful thing about it is you can pray anytime. He wants to hear from you. And I don't know if there's any lost here, but if there is, he especially wants to hear from you. See, so many of those people, you won't hear him just say the young or the old said crucify him, but he said, let their blood be upon our head and our children. They brought their kids in the mix. So what about it today? Is it Barabbas? Or is it Jesus? So many of us already know. So many of us have already said it's Jesus. Thank God it's Jesus. Praise God it's Jesus. He's the only one. He's the only way. He's the only light. He's the only direction. He's the only one who gives perfect counsel. He's the only one who gives peace and joy and understanding and eternal life and perfect love. You see, the world is in search of all those things when there's already been one presented. But you know, there's so many things that keep us away. And I think the biggest thing is we overthink it. Maybe that was so easy. Well, maybe that was a reason that I got saved when I did, because I don't like to overthink things. Because pretty soon one thing turns into something else, and you're building upon it, and you're building upon it, and you get completely off track when He gave us the way. He said, I am the way. Which way have we chosen tonight? I would ask everyone just to look deep within themselves for a moment and think. Have I picked the right way? Because there's only one right way. Well, I guess I was a little bit wrong. It was a little bit, it wasn't as long as normal. I can't apologize for it, though. I'll tell you.